Write my dad a Happy Father's Day card. I'm going to write one this year. And I want to use a crayon because I want to show him how much I've matured through the years. I don't have any at home, so I need the kids to bring me one. Praise the Lord. Yeah, of course they are. My 84-year-old dad will very much appreciate his 52-year-old son writing him a card with a crayon. Because my dad has matured as much as I have. Hallelujah. This morning I had a couple of different things on my heart to do. I don't know if we're going to get to them all, but in my studies and thinking about Father's Day, Deuteronomy chapter 6 came to light. And so I want to share some things from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your presence, for the presence of your Spirit in this place today. I thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who died on the cross for our sins and rose again. And by believing in him, we may have eternal life. Lord, give us the strength and the courage to repent of all of our sins and to follow Jesus wherever he may go, wherever he leads. We want to lift him up. We want to be that anthem of praise because he is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is the one who loves us. And God, you so loved us that you gave. And so God, we're grateful today. I pray that as we look at your word on this Father's Day, that you are blessed as our Heavenly Father. And God, that we can express our love to you today, our gratitude, our thanks, and God, just all the glory that you deserve. Be blessed and honored as we go throughout this service this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. How many know it's good to honor your father and your mother, right? How much more our Heavenly Father? Praise God. Deuteronomy chapter 6 starts out. It says, now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God and to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to pause there just for a minute. Moses is talking to the people, and he's explaining to them, you need to keep these commandments. This is very important. You need to pass it down to your son and to your grandson. And so the question arises right away. What commandments is Moses talking about? We'll back up to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Verse 1 says, Moses called all Israel and said to them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them. And so in chapter 6, Moses is saying, you got to keep these things. In chapter 5, he explains the things that we need to keep. Look at verse 6. These are going to sound very familiar for those of you who know what Exodus chapter 20 is all about. Exodus chapter 20 is all about God's commandments, the Ten Commandments. And he says in verse 6 of Deuteronomy chapter 5, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. If you're one of those who circles your Bible or highlights, put a little circle or note or highlight on that. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Has anybody here been delivered out of the house of bondage? Yes, I have. Thank you, Jesus. We must never forget who it was that delivered us out of that house. It was the Lord our God, right? And he goes on to say, and he recaps what he was given in Exodus. He says in verse 7, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven or that is in the earth, beneath or that is in the water under the earth, you shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments." God is very serious about this. If you hate God, there's a good chance that your children are going to suffer for it. How many, you know, on this Father's Day, as fathers and mothers, how many of us want our children to suffer? Well, maybe sometimes, right? Oh, you little rascal. You're going to suffer for that one. But no, we do not want God's wrath to be poured out on our children. And so we must take heed to what the Bible says in these commandments. You know, there's something about the Ten Commandments. I don't know if you're aware of this, but, you know, at the cross, Jesus did away with you know, he fulfilled the law. So the Levitical law, we learn through Scripture that, you know, we don't have to, you know, obey all of those particular laws as far as, you know, I mean, there's certain things, yeah, but as far as, you know, all the religious what's the word I'm looking for? Duties and institutes and all those things that the Jews had to do. You know, showing up at Jerusalem every year and sacrificing animals and all that stuff and being circumcised and many other things Scripture teaches us. But the Ten Commandments were never abolished at the cross. The Ten Commandments are still in play today. Whether you want to look at, you know, study Leviticus and all that law and follow all of that, you know, God bless you if you do, but it's not necessary. Jesus gave us a new covenant. But that new covenant still includes these Ten Commandments. And so it's good to understand that. Verse 11 says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." Now for many that means, you know, using the Lord's name as a swear word, or, you know, we've all heard that before. My thinking on this kind of leans toward the idea of taking on the Lord's name, saying, "Hey, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian," but then not living like it. You've taken on his name, but it's all in vain, because if you're not going to follow his commandments, if you're not going to love him, serve him, if you're going to continue in your sin blatantly, disregarding repentance, then you've taken his name, and I believe that's in vain. Just one way to look at it. Verse 12, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter nor your male servant nor your female servant nor your ox nor your donkey nor any of your cattle nor your stranger who is in your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." Now, I realize you all kept the Sabbath day. You came to church today instead of going to work. That's an awesome thing. There are those in the world who take this so very literally. Let me tell you a story. I came across somebody the other day. They told me a story. They were down in somewhere in the southern part of New York, around the Catskills. How many know there's a lot of Jews down there? Practicing Jews. And it happened to be the Sabbath day, and this person gets up very early in the morning and he goes down to the store. Before the store opens, he finds the newspaper and he sits down. He's reading the newspaper, waiting for the store to open so he can get in and get a coffee. While he's doing that, along comes a whole bunch of men. I don't know if you've ever been down there. They're usually, you know, they got black hats on, white shirts, black pants. You know, they're Jews. Practicing Jews. And they're walking down, marching down the street, and all of a sudden he hears this loud noise. And he looks up, and this one poor guy had stepped on a metal grate that was on the ground, and he fell in it, and the grate flipped up and landed on his legs, and he was pinned. And he couldn't get himself out. No, I need a crayon. Oh. Okay. I'll check that out in a minute. I don't know what that is. Okay. Thank you.
Sorry.
As my son, right? Yeah, of course. And so here this poor guy is pinned under this metal grate, can't get himself out, writhing in pain. And everybody's standing around looking at him. Nobody's doing nothing. Can't work on the Sabbath. If they pick up the grate, that's work. I know what it says, but these guys were staunch. They were not going to help the dude. Sarah reminded you, the scripture says, well, if your ox fall in the ditch, you help him get out. Well, apparently, if it's okay for your ox, but not your brother. I don't know. And so the guy jumps up, runs over there, frees the guy, and they're all, oh, thank you, we're so glad you were here, and all this. It's like, wow. Now, I'm blessed that they so want to honor God, that they so want to get it right, that they were being obedient according to their mentality. I'm also blessed that there was somebody there that had a different mentality and freed the guy so he didn't have to wait till the next day so he could get out of there. But you know what? Keeping the Sabbath is important. It's very important. I'm so glad and I am blessed by all of you who take your time to show up at church and worship the Lord with a bunch of other people that want to show up at church and worship the Lord with the mentality of keeping the Sabbath. You know, our mentality of keeping the Sabbath, whether it's right or wrong, you can go around different denominations and say, well, you should do it on Saturday, or you should do it on Sunday, or, you know, like the Jews, well, you shouldn't even work. You know, they were walking. They couldn't drive a car, because if you drive a car, that's work. And you can only walk so many miles, so they got to put churches in so many different places to make sure that everybody can get there without going too far and constituting work and all that. But whatever your understanding of keeping the Sabbath is, do your best to make it according to the Word of God, but honor God on that day and get some rest. Amen? Let's keep going. Verse 16, honor your father and your mother. As the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Amen. Children, this is Father's Day. We already had Mother's Day. I hope that you honored your mother on that day, but today is Father's Day. Honor your father today. There's a blessing in it, that your days may be long. Has anybody noticed that the days seem to be really short anymore? Anybody notice that? Seems like time just goes wham, wham. You know, you wake up in the morning, before you know it, you're going to be putting yourself to bed tonight. It's like, where did the day go? I want long days. I remember when I was a kid, the days were long. Seemed like it took forever. You get up and, you know, anybody have one of those kids like, Mom, please, I want to go to bed. I'm exhausted because the day's so long. You remember that? You don't remember that? Oh, man, you must have grew up in a different dimension than me because, man, we had some long summer days, didn't we? Oh, you don't remember wanting to go to bed. Okay. Because you were one of those naughty ones. I know. Might miss something. 17, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. And you shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, his male servant, his female servant, his ox, his donkey, anything that is your neighbor's. These words the Lord spoke to all your assembly in the mountain from the midst of the fire and the cloud and the thick darkness with a loud voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone and gave them to me. Now, if God's going to write something on two tablets of stone with his own finger, don't you think maybe we ought to really pay attention to that? I think so. I think one day we're going to be able to see those tablets of stone. I think we might be able to walk up to them and put our fingers in the place where God put his finger and trace those letters and those words that he wrote. And so these are the commandments. Now flip back over to chapter 6. That's what Moses was talking about. And he goes on to say in verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." Does that sound familiar to anyone? Remember when they asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? This is what he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Verse 6, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Fathers, are you listening to me? You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. What is that talking about? Where's my clicker? I kind of lost it. Oh, here it is. What that's talking about is all that we are should be centered around the ways and the commands of God. Everything that we do, everywhere that we go, we should be showing our children and the world that we are about God and we are about God's ways. Those Ten Commandments matter to me today, tomorrow, and forever. And I'm going to live my life in such a way that you know that those Ten Commandments mean something to me and that my God means something to me. It's going to be from the words that I say. It's going to be from the things that I write. It's going to be from what I watch on TV to the things that I do in the marketplace or in the workplace. Verse 7 says, teach them diligently to your children. This is what, fathers, are you listening? Teach them diligently to your children. Moms, are you listening? Teach them diligently to your children. The NIV says it like this, impress them on your children. Out of all the people that you witness to in this world, your children better be first and foremost. They need to know that all about Jesus Christ and that you love Him and why you love Him and why they should too. Impress these things on your children. Teach them diligently. Diligently is kind of one of those power words, isn't it? It's not like just a soft thing, like a suggestion. No, diligently means do it with everything you got. Let them know that the ways of God matter to you and teach it to them so that the ways of God matter to them as well. You know what else? You can't fool your children. Of all the people in the world around you, your children know whether or not you live according to God's ways and commandments. Do you know that? They pick up on it right away. You cannot fool your kids. Them little eyes are watching. Them little hearts are perceiving. It's important. As you teach them, don't be one of those people, well, do as I say, not as I do. No. You teach them with what you say and you teach them with what you do and you be diligent about letting them know all about God's ways. And the other thing that I want to encourage you, it's never too late to start loving God and living according to His ways. I don't know what your path has been. I was fortunate enough to be introduced to the Lord when I was 18 years old, and I've been serving Him ever since. I remember, you know, thinking about it after I was 36, thinking, wow, I've now lived for the Lord as long as I didn't. And I've gone beyond that. But you know what? Some people don't learn anything about God or you know, get the revelation that they need to follow Jesus Christ until much later in life, and that's okay. As long as you get that revelation and you start living according to God's ways, and when it's all said and done, that you share that with your children. Doesn't matter how terrible of a father you have been, if you have been a terrible father. The moment you turn your heart to God, you let them know, hey, I've given my life to the Lord, and I'm going to follow Him, and these are the ways that I'm going to live now, and let me teach them to you. And the sooner that you do, the more joy and peace you will have in this life. That's just the way it is. That doesn't mean that you're not going to have trials and tribulations. I had a conversation with somebody recently, the idea that they're struggling with some stuff. And I said, you know, there's a way in the midst of all the fiery trials and in the midst of all the floods to know whether or not you're really in the will of God. One of those ways is, even in the midst of the fire and the flames and the flood, do you have peace and do you still have joy? And I'm not talking about as the world gives. I'm not talking about, you know, some sort of happiness from, you know, receiving something from the world or anything like that. But in the midst of your trial, if you've got the peace of Jesus, you know, okay, you know what? I believe this is God's will for me because He's still giving me peace even though this is a mess. Anybody got a mess going on? And yet, you know what? I can have peace even in this. Amen. Do not let a circumstance steal your joy of the Lord. Because Satan wants to do that every single moment, every single day. He will use the people that you love the most sometimes to pierce your heart with what seems like a knife. It's like, oh my gosh, what is this? Do not let any circumstance steal your joy of the Lord. Do not let any turmoil take away your peace that comes in Jesus Christ. We stand firm, right? We're supposed to. If we have faith, we are to stand. I had somebody the other day, again, I was talking to the idea that how do you know that you can trust God if you're never given something you have to trust Him for? How do you know that you have faith if you're never given something you have to believe for? How do you know that He is a deliverer if you've never been delivered by something? And sometimes we go through stuff where, maybe it's just so that God can prove Himself to us. He wants you to know how strong and powerful He is. And it may not feel like, oh, we're God. Where are you now? I'm right here. And when it gets to that point where you think it's all going to just be over, I'm going to rise up and I'm going to save you. I don't know. God, sometimes I think God's like the Lone Ranger. He just wants to show up at the right time and save the city. Verses 10 through 19 say, "So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities, which you did not build, houses full of all good things, which you did not fill, hewn out wells, which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees, which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve Him. You shall take oaths in His name. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are all around you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against and destroy you from the face of the earth. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted Him at Massah. You shall diligently, keep His commandments. Keep the commandments of the Lord your God, His testimonies and His statutes which He has commanded you, and you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to cast out all the enemies from before you, as the Lord has spoken." There, in that passage, I want to touch on a couple of things. First of all, has anybody ever got to a place in your life where you feel like, wow, I really don't deserve where I'm at? You ever been there? You know, God talked about this with the children of Israel, you know, talking about living in homes they didn't build, drinking from wells they didn't dig, eating from vineyards that they did not plant. I mean, you know, it's good to earn your way in life, right? Yeah. It's good. But when God pours out blessing and stuff you don't deserve, sometimes it's like, wow, this is wonderful. But there's a warning in here. Beware, verse 12, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. Don't get too comfortable in the blessings of life that you forget where they come from. Anybody know people like that? Let's not be those people. If we get so comfortable in the blessings of life, sometimes it can be like we feel like we deserve it now when we really don't. And we forget where those blessings come from. And we think, oh, all this is happening to me because I'm just such a great person. No, you're not. All of this is happening to you because God loves you and God wants to bless you. One way to always remember this, where the blessings come from, is to do what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I love verses like this that say, this is what, I've mentioned this before, this is the will of God for you. What is the will of God for you? In everything give thanks. Why? Because if you give Him thanks for everything, you won't forget where everything came from. Give Him thanks for the good things. Give Him thanks for the bad things. Give Him thanks for everything that comes your way. Do not give the devil any credit. Not even when the bad things... How many have heard this? Oh, the devil did this. Don't give the devil any credit. The only thing the devil can do against you is something that God will allow him to do against you. Read the book of Job. You will see that. Now we might say, God, why are you letting the devil do this to me? Well, that's a question that God's going to have to answer for you. And guess what? He usually does. When it's all said and done, you can give thanks for all things. Lord, this is something that's way, way worse than I ever thought. There's no way I could give you thanks for this. Well, you need to learn how. It's not easy giving God thanks for everything, but it is very important. Especially when He gives you good things that you don't deserve. Like salvation, hallelujah. Like food on your table. Like clothes on your backs. Don't get too comfortable in the blessings that you forget where they come from. Let's move on reading verses 20 through 25. Oh wait, before we go there, verse 19 says, to cast all your enemies from before you. To cast how many enemies from before you? All of them. What's the Bible say? No weapon formed against me, what? Shall prosper. The Lord will cast out all your enemies. Think about just for a moment. The things in your life that go against what you believe should be in your life. In Celebrate Recovery, we call them hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Addictions, shortcomings, failures, circumstances that are out of your control that other people put into your life. Things that you would consider to be enemies. And now realize those things that are in your life today. We all have certain things in our lives today. It's like, oh my gosh, I would wish I did not have this in my life today. God casts out all enemies from before you. Hold on to that. Verse 20 says, when your sons ask you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, again, this being Father's Day, have an answer for your children when they ask you what all this means. Have an answer. How many of us as parents, moms included, have had an experience where your children have come up and asked about God? Anybody? What is this? What is this about God? You need to have an answer. How can you have an answer if you're uneducated? Right? Read your Bibles. Go to church. Read spiritual books. Be careful with them. Remember, we're always supposed to judge. I've read spiritual books. It's like, no, I don't think so. But I've read some spiritual books that have changed my life. Make sure everything that you read, if you read other books, lines up with Scripture. The Bible is the standard, period. Get to know it, get to understand it, get to live it, get to speak it, and have an answer for your children. That's what verse 20 is about. Verse 21, then you shall say to your son, We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe, against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. Then he brought us out from there, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes. What statutes? Well, how about those Ten Commandments that he just talked about in the last chapter? To fear the Lord our God for our good all, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. Then it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God as he has commanded. And so have an answer for your children. Tell them how God wondrously delivered you from your sins. From your sins that held you captive. You know, he's telling, you know, the children of Israel here, tell them how God brought you out of Egypt, how he brought you out of that house of bondage. And we all have been Egypt, you know, in Egypt. Egypt being, you know, a symbol for the sin in our lives. We have all been in sin. We have all been in bondage. But God has delivered us. And we need to share those testimonies with our children when they ask. It's important that you share your experience. Why? Because it's your experience that's going to have the most, it has the most impact on you, and you're going to be able to communicate that best to your children. What is your experience? I was a sinner saved by grace. I had this and that and the other thing in my life, but God delivered me from all of it. Explain to them that God gave you new life through Jesus Christ. And explain to them that that's why you now choose to obey these commandments and encourage them to do the same. Remember what we talked about earlier. Impress on them. Diligently train them. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, I know some of us, you know, we've seen our children perhaps depart from it. Like, oh my gosh, what's going on? Do you trust God? If you trust God, you can trust his word. His word says they won't. And if they have, I trust they're just like that prodigal boy who's going to run back. They're going to run back. Don't give up on them. If you give up on your children, it's like you've given up on God. The NIV in that verse says, start children off on the way they should go. Now again, if you didn't come to the Lord until you were older and you didn't lead your children in the ways of the Lord, start today. It's okay. I know people whose parents didn't necessarily follow the Lord, but the children found Jesus anyway. Isn't that awesome? And so if you're a believer and you are following the Lord, I trust that he will also win your children through your testimonies. Start children off on the way they should go. I believe we can trust God. And you can say, well, you know what? I know what the word says, but this is what I see with my eyes. Well, I also know the word says that I walk by faith, not by sight. And so even though my eyes may see some things that I don't think agrees with God's word, I'm going to trust God and walk in faith that he will win them. I'm almost out of time. Fathers, this Father's Day, stand up for Jesus Christ. And be, amen. Go ahead, stand up. Stand up for Jesus Christ. And show your children how much. Yes, you can do that for me, Dallas. Show your children how much living for God matters to you. They need to know. They need to see a testimony. You know what? I got in. Yeah, just put it right there. We have a gift for you, by the way. I know that all of these, I'm going to pick on the wolves today. I know all of these kids know all about God, know about God's ways. But you know what? Turn around and look at that guy back there. Every time they can look at their dad and see that he's standing up for Jesus Christ, I believe that has an impact on their hearts. Same goes for all of you. Well, my kids know I've served the Lord. I've served the Lord my whole life. Let it show them again. Never let it leave their thinking, the idea that you know what, maybe dad's just kind of slipping a little. No, he's not. Today, he's standing in the house of God, and he's standing up for the glory of God as a testimony that I love God, and I'm going to walk in his ways before the children's eyes. Amen. I'm going to share something real quick. I don't have time to do this. I was thinking about not preaching today and just going around the room and asking the fathers to do this. We do this at the Fatherhood Group. Weekly I meet with some fathers over in Seneca County, and there's a couple of groups going that, you know, they're trying to get this group formed in every county. Pastor John White down in Penn Yan, they're doing Yates County, and they've had just some wonderful times down there. But what you do in these groups is you give your name, your number of children, and you share a teachable moment. A teachable moment can be anything that you've learned in recently in your life. Doesn't matter what, it could be anything. If you learn that it's a bad thing to, you know, spill coffee on your lap, you can share that. But usually, you know, we like to share things, real teachable moments. How many know that guys even our age can still be taught something, right? And we're always continuing, never stop learning. Keep learning. And when we're in these groups and we share teachable moments, it really gives inspiration to the other guys, you know, and we learn a lot from each other. And then there's a question of the day. Now, there's a game that we like to, every now and again, we will do this game in the Fatherhood Group where it's called Keep, Toss, and Pass. And we think about our fathers, and we think about what our fathers were to us in our lives, and we will write down something that you want to keep from your father. You know, something about their character, something about their way, something about who they are. What about your father? Is there something about your father that you would like to keep? For example, I'll give you an example. My dad is awesome. I could write a whole list of stuff from my dad I'd like to keep. But one of the things that I like to keep is his integrity and his humility. Just growing up, I can't say there was a time I remember seeing my dad slip up. I mean, he was a man who he said he was. And he was a good father. I want to keep that integrity that he had as a father. And then something you would toss. Something about your dad you would toss. Now, there are guys in there whose fathers were alcoholics or addicts, and they'd say, oh, you know, I'd like to just toss away that whole alcohol thing and all that. Myself, I think about it, and you think about it. I'm asking my sister, you think about it. I can't think of one thing about my dad that I would want to toss. Now, I believe I'm fortunate. I know not everybody grows up in a family like I did. And then we talk about what part of your character as a dad would you like to pass on to your children? It makes you think. Uh-oh. My son's got his hand up. What's that? yeah. My kids want to toss my chicken legs. Hallelujah. You see, these things make you think, don't they, right? Just ask the kids. They'll let you know. But think about it as a dad. Think about each and every individual child. When I get in there, I say, you know what? God has given me the blessing to raise 3 kids. A daughter, a son, and a nephew. And I share little bits about you guys. I hope you don't mind. In a teachable moment, man, my kids teach me stuff all the time. Cruz has been getting a lot of attention in that. He's taught me, he comes from a whole different background than where my kids were raised and all of that. And I got a lot of teachable moments through all of that. But it really makes you think as a dad to think, you know what? What would I like to pass on to my children? And we write stuff down. I mean, And you got guys in there that are just got out of jail. Some of the guys that are mandated to be there from the court, and all of a sudden they got to think about their lives, and then they got to realize, what's in my life I'd want to pass down to my kids? And some of their lives are pretty difficult. But what a blessing it is to be a dad. And to have children that we can influence. And I trust that through this message this morning, each and every one of us standing here have that desire to live in the ways of God and to pass that on to our children. And that God would give us the blessing to see them live for Him in our days. Wouldn't that be awesome? And so let's as dads do everything we can to instill the love of God into our children and inspire them to love the Lord as well through our testimonies. Gentlemen, would you come and join me up here? We've got a gift for all of you. I hope you all like chocolate. Come on up here. If you're a dad, come right on up here. There's a basket full of chocolate here. Go ahead and pick one. Go ahead, whatever you like. There's a variety. Pick what you like. Hallelujah. This is just a gift. We give the mothers a rose or give them whatever. And through the years, we've given God given the guys different things, but the chocolate seems to hold well. You're welcome. Yeah, don't go outside. Make sure you keep it in the shade on the way home. Hey, don't go away. Come back. Come back. Don't go away. Is this for Lloyd? Okay, I've got a card here. We want to send Lloyd a card. For those who don't know, he's in a situation. And I'm not going to form an opinion about the situation. If you know what's going on, then whatever, but I'm the one who is going to wait until it's over to form any opinion about what it's about. But I know this. Lloyd loves God. And he needs some encouragement. Whatever that situation is, who's going to encourage him if the people of God don't? Right? And so, there's a card here. If you would like to sign it, just send him a little note just to encourage him a little bit. Please, I'm just going to leave it here on the corner of the stage. Take it upon yourself, if you would like to sign that, to go ahead and do that, and we'll get that to him. He's a father too. praise God. I want to pray because God has so blessed me as a dad. I'm telling you what, my kids are so awesome. They drive me crazy. Yes, they do. But they're awesome. I wouldn't ask for any different ones. Well, maybe. No. I've learned so much through them. God showed me how to love. He taught me what unconditional love is through my children. And I'm so blessed to be his dad. And I trust that you all are too. And so I just want to pray for us all. Heavenly Father, I thank you. You have given us the blessing of being fathers. Lord, I pray that we as fathers would be an example of your will in your way before all of our children. That our love for you would so shine through our lives that they would be compelled to serve you also, to seek you and to find you and to love you. God bless each father that is in this place today. Whether we did it right, whether we did it wrong, God, we need your help from this day going forward to continue to do what you've called us to do as dads. Lord, I pray for any father who's lost a child and their heart may be heavy today. God, that you bless them and you lift them up and you give them encouragement and hope that their children are with you in your arms, that one day we will see them again. But Lord, this day, I am so grateful to stand in the company of men who will lift up their voices and they will point to the heavens and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. God bless each man here today. We thank you for the gift of life, for the gift of love, and the gift of children that makes us fathers. Bless each one on this Father's Day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Children, if your dad's here, give them a hug and let them know how much you love them. Gentlemen, go and be blessed. Amen. And enjoy that chocolate in Jesus' name. Amen. I knew the Wolf Kids would do that. Amen. God bless you. Have a great afternoon. Enjoy your families.